No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We lead off this hour with Linda in Fall River on the Patriots. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good,
I have
Linda.
A question about Gronk.
Go ahead.
Isn't Gronk working with TB12 trainer Alex?
Yes, he is.
Okay, how come he didn't get any concussion water from him?
Great question, Linda. What happened to the concussion protection that they offer TB12? Very good point.
Atta girl, Linda.
Seriously, right? I mean, Brady said he's been protected all these years by the concussion sauce and all the other brain exercises and all the stuff that they do at TB12, and that he's never had one, even though his wife admitted that he has repeated concussions. You're right. Maybe
you go, girl.
Maybe it's possible you can't just drink some sort of fluid and be protected from concussions. Maybe.
Interesting.
I thought if I drank that Brady stuff, I wouldn't get a concussion. Huh. Mike and Whitman on Marcus Smart. You like that shot last night, Mike?
No, not at all. And I think the game is on Brad Stevens because Smart's specialty is defense, right? So why the hell was he on the floor during the end of the game? There's no reason for him to be out there if you don't want him to take the shot. Put Baines in there to come down with the rebound. Tatum, Brown, Kyrie, and Rozier. There you go.
Good point. Could they have subbed? Now, what was the... could he have subbed in between free throws? He could have, right?
Sure. Yeah. But I think he had already subbed. Tatum came into the game, I think, with 7 seconds left, if I remember right. I'm double checking.
I'm just saying when they're sitting at the line. When Caldwell Pope sits...
11.
Standing at the line... Can he sub out Marcus Smart? Like, can he save the Celtics, protect the Celtics from Marcus Smart's bad shots by not even having him on the floor?
Yeah, but you need him in there for the rebounding.
And not only that, but I mean, I think as a fifth option, Smart might be the guy they'd have on the floor. Like, again, I don't have a problem with Smart being on the floor. I have a problem with him not giving up the ball.
Yeah, pass the ball.
Like, well, what do you look at the other people on the floor. Again, on that play, Rozier, Tatum, Irving, all up the floor in front of him, basically. And he dribbles up and shoots? That, my friends, is a bad decision.
Tony and Haverhill on the Super Bowl. Hi, Tony.
Hi. We had a unsuspected, you know, breakout quarterback, Nick Foles, come in towards the end of the season, put on a performance. Are we to suspect that he is going to be consistent in the Super Bowl?
No.
And if so, are we going to be able to defend, you know, Nick Foles after putting up a performance in the NFC Championship game the way he did?
I mean, if he plays well, he'll make plays on you because I don't think your defense is great. But, you know, it was just the week before, people were looking at the Philadelphia Eagles like, you have no offense. I mean, like up until that Minnesota game, you looked at him and said, this team's a disaster offensively, right?
Yeah.
And then they light up Minnesota. Now all of a sudden, Nick Foles is good enough to win it. Like, which one is it, man?
No, the truth, I think, is somewhere in between, though. Look, there were a couple of fluky plays in that game. They went 38-7, right?
I think he's closer to the scrub.
Nick stinks.
He sucks. He's closer to the suck bag than what he was against Minnesota.
Okay, so that might be right. I mean, against Minnesota, his rating was what? 141.5?
Right. It's not in the middle. He's towards the suck bag.
But, you know, if you look at his career, he has been average to slightly above average, except for 1 year. And you know who his coach was that year?
Fisher.
Yes. So, like, I look at that one and say, well, I think if you have a good coach with Foles, I don't know, I think they could pull it off, yes.
I mean, no, is he good enough? I'd be stunned if he leads the Eagles to victory. If he's a compliment, if the Eagles keep the game in the 20s, and he can do what Blake Bortles did last week, and get the Eagles to the low 20s and win that way, yes, he can do that. Can he beat you 38-35? No. That's not what's happening, I don't think. Wayne and Grafton on Brad Marchand. You think he's going to be suspended? Wayne, should he be suspended?
Well, you're talking to an all-time 70s player. He would have fit in great on those teams. Get a lot of goals.
It's a different league, 30. Wayne. You know it.
I know. It's sad. It's time for me to go to the next dimension. But I think he will get suspended. To me, it looked like a glancing blow. Yeah, right. And as far as Brady goes, I still think he's a tool, but he's the best quarterback ever.
Well, I mean, the way he used it, it's fine, but...
Yeah, that one's not going
to
fly.
No, I don't think so either. I'd have said massage.
But again, technically, a hand massage.
Yeah, a hand massage.
The hand massage that Brady gave the Jaguars was like, you just can't quite say it the way he said it.
No.
The thing that gets me about Marchand is why can't he stop? This is why I equate to Grayson Allen, though, that Duke basketball player who keeps tripping people. When you know it's like you don't want to do it, you tell yourself don't do it, and then you just like this tick where you have to do it. Like, I find that there's some sort of he needs to see a shrink. He needs to see a sports psychologist because he's a star player now. He's an offensive star player. He is a all-star MVP candidate. Not an MVP, but a guy who's going to get votes. He's one of those kind of guys. You don't need to be running around out there like you're a fourth-line rat just trying to make the roster. The game was in hand. He was unthreatened by the player. It's not like he was responding to a cheap shot that Johansson just gave him. He just saw the opening and took it because he can't help himself. Like, that's weird. That is weird, man.
Who are you lashing out at, Brad? Who are you angry with?
I'll tell you what, though. He is a force. He doesn't need to do this crap anymore because he's
too
dynamite.
Good. Too good.
He's dynamite.
Connor and Pawtucket following up on the Bruins. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey, guys. I'm totally with you on the last shot last night with the Celtics. Should have gone to Kyrie. But I'm sorry. I must have missed the Bruins minute, but they're on a freaking roll. And
they can't lose, Connor. They're never going to lose again. It's unreal.
No, don't. When the Capitals come in, but still, like, I know Marchand's a bully and he's had that reputation, but I don't. That play, I really didn't see it. Otherwise, I love the Bees. Thanks, guys.
Okay, go Bees. Now, go watch the play. He for no reason blatantly elbows the guy in the head for no reason. The other thing, they can't lose. They won't lose. It's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable.
They kind of sucked last night. They weren't really that good. Rask was great. That's one I'll give the Rask people. He stole you that game. He was great. Otherwise, they got pretty much outplayed up and down the ice. And there's still 2 points. Like, and so not like now they've had a lot of luck. You see that Riley Nash goal? Like,
God, that was ridiculous.
He's from the goal line sideways on the net, hits a stick and like sort of bends,
popped up in the air,
curves up over another player, over the goalie, back into the net. Like, now they're just pulling things out of their butts.
The other two goals were legit, though.
But it's insane how good they've been. There's another reason. Like, Marchand, what? Why? It's not like you're frustrated or scuffling or, you know, any of those things. You're trying to light a fire. You're trying to, you know, establish physicality. Like, what? You're winning every night. You are an all-star. You're up a goal with 2 minutes left. You're in the offensive zone. Like it just literally makes no sense why he's doing these things.
No, zero sense. So now you potentially, if he gets suspended, you're looking at playing without McAvoy and Marchand.
Yes.
For a little bit, which honestly will lead to a regulation loss. Just quickly, because I know we said this the other day. They lost at Anaheim on Wednesday, November 15th. They were 6 wins, 7 losses, 4 overtime losses.
And this is when they benched Tuukka Rask.
Yep. They were 6-7-4. Okay. They are now 28-10 and 8. They are 22-3-4 in their last 29 games. It's insane. They don't lose ever. It's ridiculous how many games they've won. 22 out of 29? And of the remaining 7 and 4 of them you lost, you got a point anyway? It's ridiculous.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
Can you give us an update on Rob Gronkowski? Has he finished his concussion protocol? Do you expect him to play?
Yeah, we'll be compliant with the NFL injury report. And when that's required, we'll put it on there.
When is that process completed, finished?
When's what process finished?
The concussion report, the...
Whatever his situation is, whatever his status is, we'll put it on the injury report. We'll make sure you're the first one to get it.
I'm sure you will. Do you expect him to play?
Not a problem.
Do you expect him to play?
We'll put it right on the injury report, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Just like everybody else does. I'll make sure you're first on the list, too, Stacey.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I don't want to hold anything back here. Get that out there right away.
I know. Yeah, don't you don't.
That's all we can do.
My new hero, John Maroney.
I do. I like him, too.
Good job.
Channel 10 locally?
That's what I'm told. I'll give you all the details here in a second.
Whatever. What does it matter?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, if it was a Philly guy, it would make a little bit more sense.
NBC 10, so it is not. It's not a Philly guy.
Maybe he's from Philly.
Because most of the local people wouldn't really get that snippy.
Oh,
you know?
No. We didn't know. We'd bend over and take it.
Oh, I loved it. Like, oh, I'm sure you will. Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, no, thanks, Bill. Yeah.
When's the process finished?
The concussion report, the...
Whatever his situation is, whatever his status is, that we'll put it on the injury report. We'll make sure you're the first one to get it.
I'm sure you will.
Good job, guy. Good job, whoever you are. Excellent work. And so, Bill, again, Bill's credited with like this open press conference there. He was in a good mood or something. I don't know. Again, I still sense the peeny as any other day. And so he's that way on the injury thing, which you half expect. But then again, Mike Reese just asked him a totally normal, good question. Again, what amazes me about the psychology of Belichick is he's accomplished so much and is so widely regarded, uniformly, unanimously regarded as the greatest coach of all time or on the shortest of short lists. Him and Halas and, you know, like, that's it. And, you know, it's like, and everyone acknowledges it. You can't win more than he's won and can't be more respected than he's respected. And he still gets sensitive and defensive about little, you know, minor stuff like this. Like Mike Reese, who is not some Philly guy or some wise guy news reporter. Who's Mike Reese asks him a totally legitimate thing about the fact, and it's a weird stat, the Patriots have never scored in the first quarter in the Super Bowl under Belichick. They haven't scored a point in the first quarter in any of their Super Bowl games. Like, it doesn't matter. Right? They finished pretty good, don't you think? So who cares? But it is just sort of an anomaly. We got 2 weeks to talk about the game, so Mike Reese just asked them about the first quarter thing.
Bill, in the Super Bowls in the past, you guys haven't scored in the first quarter?
Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
Sorry to remind you.
Yeah.
But how...
Again, all the negative stuff in the Super Bowls we need to be aware of, too.
How much do you look at that history and this week and say, yeah, you know... Do something.
Like, we try to score in every game. I know that's probably hard to understand, but like, we try to go out and score and keep the other team from scoring. That's our goal every game.
And would you put in any extra time or change anything just to highlight that to the team and the importance of that this week?
I mean, what's important is what happens this week against the Eagles. So
yeah,
we're going to try to score. We're going to try to keep them from scoring.
Dinkus.
Don't you know how football works? We try to keep them from scoring, you little weasel. Do you want to talk about the Tyree catch too, Mike?
Is there any other negative thing you want to bring up? Like,
you want to bring up Mario Manningham?
Good Lord, Bill. Like,
oh, it's unbelievable.
Just let it go.
I mean, look.
Let it go. My God. You're going on your sixth, man. And there isn't a person out there who wouldn't say you're not one of the two or three greatest coaches in the history of the sport. So if someone asks you about one little thing that is just weird about your games, and you can't even, like, that even get your backup?
Okay, but you can't be that surprised about the insecurity, can you?
I find it, and here's another thing. I find some amazing things psychologically amazing. Marshan can't stop himself from sucker punching people. And Bill is still a sensitive, defensive sort of like first-year coach trying to prove himself, like that he's... Yes, I am surprised by it. Yes, you would think you would reach a certain level. It's like when Mike Francesa will get challenged by a caller, and Francesa will say, well, when's the last time you hosted a big market show? Like, he pulls rank on just some, you know, some...
Comparing resumes.
Some HVAC...
I've been doing this for 25 years.
Exactly, some HVAC repairman who's just, you know, like, how insecure do you have to be? You can't...
Let me know when you're number one.
You just can't let it roll off your back, Bill.
But you understand that the insecurity is what makes him who he is. Part of the reason he's this control freak maniac is because he's wildly insecure. It goes hand in hand. Like, not to psychoanalyze. Now I sound like Murray, for crying out loud. Come on to Dr. Jim's couch. Like, the whole thing, I think they go hand in hand. I think you see it a lot. I think Brady's get some of it, too.
Oh, sure, yeah. That psychosis drives them. But 8 Super Bowls, you're 5-2 in the damn things? I mean...
It's ingrained, though.
You can't just answer back, well, you know, that is kind of a statistical anomaly if you really look at it.
What
there,
else
Mike.
Are you going to bring up negative from the Super? He's like a whiny Patriots fan.
And it started like it was a joke. Because even Reese thought it was a joke at the beginning. And you hear people laughing, except Bill ain't joking. Bill's not joking. Bill's...
Sorry to remind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how...
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks for bringing that up, Mike. Thanks, appreciate it. I mean, I don't. You know, we try to score. We try to prevent them from scoring. I mean, that's the game. That's what we do. That's what we're focused on. That doesn't matter. Like, what a dink. Like, I'm more offended by the fact that it was Reese and he did that. Reese, like, that pisses me off. I can't tell you how much that pisses me off. That guy's down there all the time, forever, for how many years, right? And plays it as straight as anybody. And you spit on him? You're going to spit on that guy just like you spit on Karen when she asked you the stuff at the end? Like, those are the good people. Those are the people that treat you well.
He's going to be on his best behavior next week. And just wait. It's a trend, too, at the Super Bowl. He gets credit with being lighthearted and open, and, you know, he's in such a good mood, and this is the real Bill Belichick. He's showing true colors at the Super Bowl because he's putting it on for the national people or whatever, and maybe feels he's okay dumping on the guys that are with him every day. I don't know. But why would he be so – I mean, I think that first quarter stat's cool. Yeah, it's great. I'd be proud of it. It's like, who cares who wins the first quarter? The fact that – I mean, do they emphasize the fourth more than the first? Obviously, since in Super Bowls, I think they're plus 39 in the fourth quarter and they're minus 15 in the first. So wouldn't you rather have it that way? I think that's great. Go win the first quarter. Neat. We'll give you a medal. We're going to be here the last 5 minutes when the game's on the line. I think it's terrific. Nothing to get sensitive over or defensive over.
See, and I do think he builds it that way. In fact, if you think of it, he approaches the Super Bowl like he approaches the regular season. He takes the first quarter and sort of assesses and sees what's going on.
Anyway, there's our Belichick thought. Here's Chris in Rockland. Go ahead, Chris. Hello, Christopher. Okay, he's not there. How about Elias in the truck? How'd you feel, Elias in the truck? How'd you feel about Marcus Smart in that last-second shot last night?
Hey, Felger. Limit Smart to 5 shots a game, and Marshawn absolutely out with a guy in the face. Thanks.
Did you guys understand a word he
just said? Yes, he said limit Smart to 5 shots a game, and Marchand absolutely elbowed that guy in the face.
Okay, the second part's right. I don't know how you limit a guy to 5 shots a game, but...
I like the idea.
If he shoots too much, and there's 5 seconds left, and there's a danger of him taking the last shot, take him off the floor, Brad. Take him off the floor if you can't trust him.
There needs to be like a shock collar on him or something. He goes over,
I'm telling you, Smart has got no governor when it comes to shooting. It's once he starts making a couple... All of a sudden, he thinks he's Reggie Miller out there.
The guy has no shame. It's true.
If I had his confidence, I'd be a different person. Like the rest of us, we should all be that irrationally confident.
Matt in the car on Belichick. Hi, Matt.
What's up, boys? I got a comment on Belichick's compensation. But first, you know, you brought up, Maz, what you think it's about his makeup and the way he acts. So there's something coming up in that Bill vs. Bill piece about how Lawrence Steele used to call him Doom, apparently, when he was in the, system as a defensive coordinator, and he would always come point out what everyone did wrong each game. So Belichick's nickname was Doom when he was at the Giants.
Yeah.
Incredible. So one thing you got to consider with Belichick and his compensation is what he does as a GM, right? I mean, a guy like Elway makes a lot of money, and then they pay a coach. So, you know, when you think about what's that worth.
You bet.
What's your sanity's worth? Because, honestly, you look at all these moron NFL coaches every week. We talk about how they just screw up every game. Well, what's that worth to Mr. Kraft and everything he's been able to build down?
Oh, Matt. So,
you know, I'm on record.
So what is he worth? He's worth the highest paid GM contract in the league on top of the highest paid coach contract in the league by at least 25%. All right. So if Gruden's at 10 a year, Bill should be at 12.5, which apparently is what he is. But he should be the highest paid coach in the league by, you know, times X, whatever. And then he should be the highest paid GM in the league on top of that. And I think his GM work isn't as good as his coaching work, but be that as it may.
They go hand in hand, though.
They go hand in hand. Who would you rather have running your football operation than Bill Belichick?
You know what?
You wouldn't.
When you add it all up, I'd give him 25 mil. That wouldn't be too much for me. I just think it's comical, you know, again, that it comes down to overpaying him by that much when you could have just paid the backup quarterback.
Think of the position he's in. If he wants to be. If he wants to. He can just say, Robert, all right, so... You cut my legs out from underneath me on the quarterback thing, which we had all set. But fine. Okay. So now what? I got to pick the next quarterback and develop him. I got to develop 2 more coordinators, maybe a new personnel head. You have no succession plan because Josh is gone and Matt's gone and Bill O'Brien just signed. So, well, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you. And, I mean, what a position for Bill to be in.
Oh, he's in a great spot. Yeah, he's got unbelievable leverage right now. He does. I just, never mind. I'm going to let it go someday.
What's that? Bill being a dinkus at the podium?
No, Garoppolo. Oh. Garoppolo. Now you're in a position where you got to pay out the nose to keep the coach. Either way, you're going to spend the money. I'd rather have the coach and quarterback. I'd rather have both.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, everybody. Time to pitch and complain about who Tony Maz thinks should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Maz's Hall of Fame ballot. Who'd he vote for and why? Did he port Clemens and Barry Bonds and Curt Schilling because he's a d-? Oh, it's Maz's Hall of Fame ballot. Who'd he vote for and why?
Bonds, Clemens.
He doesn't even cover the Red Sox anymore, but he's still in the BBWA.
It's getting to be about that time, Maz.
It is, yep. 6 o'clock today, the announcement comes out.
Right off the top is 6 o'clock?
Yep, 6 o'clock. They do it on the MLB Network now. The announcement's coming at 6.
And your prediction for the class will be who?
My prediction for the class will be Vladimir Guerrero, Trevor Hoffman, Chipper Jones, Jim Thome. Is that it? I think that's it.
And of those, how many deserve to be in? Of those, who'd you vote for?
I voted for Chipper Jones. And that's it. I was trying to think of who I just rattled off. Chipper Jones is the only one I voted for that's new on the ballot. To me, the other guys I voted for are all holdovers. Bonds, Clemens, Manny, Edgar Martinez. That's it. And along with Chipper, that's all I voted for. But you're going to see a big class here. You're going to see big classes coming up almost every year now.
So apparently...
And by big, I mean you get anything more than a couple of guys. Like three is a good number. You start getting 4 and 5 guys classes, those are huge.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. Just let them all in. That's why I haven't bothered doing this. Let them all in. Let them all in. 12 a year. Go ahead. Just let them all in. And so, and there's two more. Alan Trammell and Jack Morris on the Veterans Committee, right?
Correct. Yep.
So, didn't we do the Jack Morris thing every year about trying to convince voters whether he was in or out and debating Jack Morris? And so he goes through the 15 years, he never gets in, and then he gets in on the veterans thing. So what was the point of that 15 years of debating?
I agree.
This is stupid. It sounds like I'm yelling at you. I'm not. It's just, good Lord.
So last year, just to give you an idea, you need 75% to get in. Okay, 75% of the votes. Hoffman was at 74.
He's in.
And Vladimir Guerrero was at 71.7. Okay, typically everybody goes up the longer you are on the ballot. Then Edgar Martinez was at 58.6. He feels a little low to me in terms of making that jump. That would be a big jump to get him to 75. And then the next two guys on there are Clemens and Bonds.
So to me, that's the story. If Clemens or Bonds push through this year, or when they do, because they're creeping up. They started in the 30 percentile, now they're over 50%, and you know, it's coming. The younger that voting body gets, it's coming. They're going to get in, I think. It feels that way. And when that happens, how then do you keep out Manny Ramirez?
You don't.
How then do you keep out McGuire and Sosa? And you keep them out for Maz's. You know, Maz's rationale is just tell me who the best players were. Throw out the numbers. Just tell me who, you know. And Sammy Sosa was a hack. Who just hit a million home runs because he was loaded on steroids. Barry Bonds was also loaded on steroids, but he was a brilliant baseball player. I understand your rationale. But once Bonds and Clemens come in, you want to talk about big classes, you got to let them all in. For all these baseball voters who vote on numbers, 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, things like this, then you've got to let all those guys in.
Yeah, the one I don't get, the one I'm mystified by now is Manny. Bonds and Clemens both got over 50% last year. Manny Ramirez got 23. How does that happen?
That makes no sense.
Manny Ramirez is one of the great right-handed hitters of all time. Fact. Now, you want to start, you know, splitting hairs. You say, well, Manny got popped for testing 3 times after testing was put in. Bonds and Clemens didn't get busted for testing, so that's my distinction. Fine. Okay, great. Do you think Bonds and Clemens used? Yep. Do you think Manny used? Yep. What's the diff? What's the diff whether there were rules in place or not? Just, this is like, and I know this is imperfect, but sorry, the steroid thing blew it out of the water. The numbers don't mean anything anymore. Jim Thome's 620 home runs don't mean anything to me, or however many he hit. I don't care. I don't care that he hit 600 home runs. Thome was not a great baseball player to me. He was a softball player. Good guy, liked watching him play, all of that. But he's not an A player. Just not. Wasn't a great defensive player, didn't hit for a great average, didn't run well. He was a softball player. In another era? Sure, put him in. In this one? Was he one of the top 1% in the game?
Oh, I never felt so.
No way. Not a million years. No.
Manny was.
Yeah, see, Manny to me was. Manny was a... In fact, those lineups were built around Manny more than they were about Jim Thome when he was in Cleveland and they were together.
Well, here, let's have a Hall of Fame and put in Jim Thome, but not Manny Ramirez. That's a great Hall of Fame there. That makes perfect sense to me.
So I just...
Let's put in Craig Biggio and not Barry Bonds. That's great. That's tremendous. That'll really pack him in.
Does some of it have to do with the fact that he like kind of had the mind of a child and really wasn't all that good with the media?
No, I admit this is a personal bias. The guy who hits just home runs to me in the steroid era now has less value because home runs were devalued. So if everybody's hitting the ball out of the ballpark...
No, I'm talking about Manny Ramirez.
Oh, you're asking about the bias against Manny. The bias against Manny is that he officially failed tests.
Correct, three times. Three-time loser.
Yeah, but big whoop. I mean, use your eyes. You know everyone else was using them, too. The guy was the best right-handed hitter of that generation.
So I'm willing to bet that ultimately he gets in.
Well, once Clemens and Bonds go. So that, to me, is the big newsbreaker. Whether it happens today or next year. When those two go, then game on. Then it's game on. And so we'll see if that happens this year. Probably too much of a leap. But we're getting there, Maz, and we'll find out in about 15 minutes. Just who's going in, who's in, who's out, all of that. Back to the phones. Mike is in Rhode Island on the Pats. Hi, Mike.
How you doing? Good show. Belichick is the best coach ever, okay? But what he does for the Patriots brand is just brutal, okay? He's the biggest stiff in sports. You know what I mean? Is there a bigger stiff?
Probably not. What I don't get, Mike, is that he just doesn't need to be. Like, it's the battle's over. You're established. You're there. Like, why do you still got to treat people like that and get your back up on things that just really at the end of the day don't matter?
Can't help himself. He's like Marchand.
It's just, there's a psychology there.
No, I'm not kidding. He gets off on it on some level, being able to tell someone to go pound sand. And the, you know, see, I disagree about the Patriot brand, though. He doesn't hurt the brand. Please. The winning puts more value in the brand than anything.
No. It nets out a positive, obviously. Of course. But you don't think moments like that hurt?
Sure.
Yeah. So, but I mean, at the end of the day, the positives outweigh the negatives. But there's some negatives there. That's one of the reasons, and I think it's a smaller reason, but one of the reasons you're unpopular as a team is because of that.
Yes, it is. But I thought he meant that Belichick ultimately hurts the brand.
Oh, God, what?
Okay.
No.
So I just want to make, you know, let's not get stupid about it.
Well, I mean, is it possible just to be that great and not be such ass hat sometimes?
Sure it is.
Like, what? Why do those things have? Why do they have to be? Why do they have to be mutually exclusive?
I mean, I always use Montana. Montana never came off to me as a dink.
Walsh never did either. Dylan in Maine. Go ahead, Dylan.
All right. So for all the travel team dads who like to think they're the next Coach K, they are wrong about Marcus Smart's shot. Listen. So every team has a million set plays for specific instances, like one rebounds in terms of last second shots. Marcus Smart was the one guy that happened to get the rebound. So what the other guys do, if you can see closely, they all spread the floor, run straight up the floor. Now you have two on each side. Now, if you wanted to pass to Kyrie, being guarded on his left, passing to him parallel, why would I want to pass it right next to me when I'm the same distance I'm trying to get to the
basket? Because the other guy's a better shooter, Dylan.
But the other guy has the it's extremely frustrating. Okay, just calmly listen to me. Marcus Smart.
What if I don't want to? What is it frustrating, like you're talking to a child? I frustrate you because I'm such a simpleton, I can't understand bouncy ball? It's really not that. It's the easiest sport in the world to actually understand, Dylan. It's bouncy. Bounce the ball and put it in the basket. Give the ball to the best player at the end of the game to shoot the basketball, not the guy who sucks shooting threes. Why is that so complicated?
Pass to Kyrie Irving, what is the difference? They both had the same amount of time to get up the floor.
What's the difference between Kyrie and Marcus bringing it up the floor? Were you kidding?
With the same distance from the basket, each of them, both being guarded tightly, there's no sense of passing it parallel to me. I'm going in the other direction. I want to go north to south.
You don't believe that, Dylan.
Oh, my God.
You don't believe that.
Yes, I do believe that. I played basketball.
Oh, I played basketball. Well, you're a dunce because one guy has hit that shot in the biggest moment you could possibly hit it in the most difficult stage.
Guy, you look like you played travel team maybe on the bench. Listen.
That's the
best available shot for
you. Can't do that, but I don't want to drop him.
Joey AAU over there. Have you been on a travel team? Oh, that guy was awesome.
We're talking to Pistol Pete. I don't want to hang up on that guy. That's the natural. That's Robbie Benson, man. I want to talk to that guy.
Downtown Dylan from Yarmouth. Got a boy.
Kyrie Irving, who's hitting 3-point daggers in the NBA Finals. And, he's no different than Marcus Smart. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what's the difference if you pass it sideways? There's no difference. Downtown Dylan. He can light it up from 10 feet behind the line. Downtown Dylan from Dartmouth.
Frank in Manchester. Go, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I love the show. Mike, listen, okay? You and Belichick are literally cut from the same loincloth, okay? You get upset at people, okay? You're upset because he's talking to reporters, down to them. If he gave you 5 minutes of his time, okay, you would shine his shoes. Guaranteed.
I disagree. If he gave me five, I'd kiss his butt. I would. I'd pucker up.
Bring out his loincloth?
Maybe, maybe there was a time, Frank. I don't know about now, but I don't know how that's germane to how he, how he reacted today. What does that have to do with anything?
Because you just snapped at a guy that called up about basketball, okay? He snapped at the reporter asking about, when the report's going to come out. What's going on with Gronk?
Frank, these are different things. We're debating
really.
A basketball game. I'm not getting defensive about what I've accomplished or my track record. Because someone asked me about it, like Bill did. That's what Bill did today. Got defensive and sensey about a Super Bowl stat, of which he's won 6 of the last 7, or whatever it is, 5 of the last 7, which just makes no sense. We snap at callers with bad phones, and then we debate sports. Like, you can't compare the two. I'm sorry.
No, your job is to talk and argue.
Yes, that is the job description.
Yeah, his job is to represent the Patriots and coach them. I think there's a big difference there, just my 2 cents.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do,
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
That's right. You get that right, Murray. Nobody.
There you are. All right.
Nobody. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Well, we have a couple of calls here in the final word today. We'll start off with Ron in Worcester.
Ron in Worcester on Brad Marchand. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, Ron.
Wondering why you feel it's your duty in life to vilify Brad Marchand, starting out with Marchmont for the last couple of years. Basically, take a look at Bobby Clark, one of the dirtiest players who ever played in the Hall of Fame. Every Montreal Canadian could all be there. The guy you love, P.K. Subban, with one of the cheapest games going, and yet you want to vilify this guy because of our new politically correct NHL in a little namby-pamby rules.
Did you see the play last night, Ron?
I did.
How'd you feel about it?
It was dirty. It was dirty.
Okay, so that's all.
Absolutely. But it's in his DNA, Mike. Just as in your DNA to do your little cough every time you talk about PEDs.
Well, but his DNA hurts the team, Ron.
Valid point. But my point is, if you had 4 Brad Marchands, you'd be contending for the cup every year.
Again, back to that Subban comparison. Brian, our director at NBC Sports Boston, he flashed it up. Do you still have it, Brian? Can you show us that?
Has Subban ever been suspended?
I don't believe so. I think Marchand has missed 14 games and been fined $500,000, and Subban has missed no games and been fined something like $14,000. Something like that. It's not even close.
It can't be $500,000. That's too much.
I don't know. He got fined out. Was it $100,000 last year? I'm not sure exactly. I guess Brian's not the... He flashed it up. He had the numbers, and then I didn't write it down. But it's not even close. Marchand's been suspended or fined 7 times already, including twice last year. Subban is, he has his issues, but he doesn't try and hurt other people like Marchand does.
So you know what? If you factor in loss of salary for suspensions, I bet you it's $500,000. I bet you that's right.
Well, we had another Celtics call today. It's not the one that we just got from the kid who was busting my balls, but I wasn't on a travel team. What do you know you're talking about? You've never been on a travel team. That's maybe the funniest insult I've heard.
Pistol Pete Dillon from Yarmouth.
Downtown Dillon Brown.
Marcus Smart, Kyrie Irving, same guy. What's it really matter who's shooting that last shot? He was the best.
That guy can't be serious.
How many travel teams have you made, Mark?
None. You got me. Paul in Brookfield on being too harsh on the Celtics.
Paul in East Brookfield on the Celtics. Hi, Paul.
How you doing? I'm a second-time caller.
Great. Wow. What do you got?
You know, I think you guys have destroyed the chemistry and the camaraderie of this team. Anthony Davis came to town, and I watched you clowns turn around and say Horford and Brown, Horford and Tatum, Horford and Tatum in the L.A. pick.
Yes.
All right? You guys have seemed to have destroyed their confidence. Brown, Tatum, Horford are playing like crap, all right? I would not be surprised to see them come back from this West Coast swing 0-6. And you guys have a lot to do with it. These two young kids, you're hurting them. You're hurting their confidence by constantly criticizing.
Now, that one was good, too.
That's good. Right, that's up there. Good. We've destroyed the Celtics.
We have power.
No, it is.
And you've ruined Al Horford. H-A-W-F-E-Ed.
Yeah, Horford.
F-E-D.
What was that guy's name?
That was Paul in Brookfield.
If Paul in Brookfield thinks we've hurt the Celtics, he obviously hasn't hurt Jones. Because if that were, they'd be 10-38.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.